Do you guys pay attention to the words of the songs we sing? I really pay attention to the words and what they mean and what they're saying. When we sing, I believe that that's a huge part of our relationship with the Lord. And these last few weeks, we've been, actually a couple of months ago, we started talking about jars of clay. And it just so happens, and there's a nice, there will be a nice picture of jars of clay. Maybe, let me, there they are, you guys can see them. And you know, for thousands of years, men have made jars out of clay. And it's really interesting, and of course, there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:7, where Paul says, we are like common clay jars. And you know, it's interesting, a clay jar is designed to hold things. The jar's not what's special, it's what's in the jar that's special. And Paul, when he said this, what was he talking about? I believe it's very important. And when we're looking at, of course, we're looking at Gideon, Judges chapter 6 and 7. And we're about to get to the part where Gideon does something amazing that sets the entire nation of Israel free. And he does it by breaking his jar. And we're going to get to that story. But here's the rest of that verse. This is you. This is you. Paul said, we are like common clay jars. The big deal is not what you see on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And you and I live by these facts. They're facts. Well, this jar's sort of brownish colored. It has little grooves and it's got handles and it's a jar and it's made out of clay. And we'll say that's what it is. That's all it is. As a matter of fact, when we look at our lives, we don't even believe what Paul says right here. The truth is, it's a glorious treasure within. We carry. You know what the treasure is? It's us. You're the treasure God's been looking at and dreaming of and planning for since before the world was created. He said, we're like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within. You know why the treasure's there? He's the river, he's the fountain of life, but rivers of living water will flow from within us. Whenever you abide in him, the songs talked about abiding in Christ. I'm a branch, he's the vine. You see, the truth is you were created so that extraordinary overflow of power will come out of your life, out of who you are. Not the outer side. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your whether you're cracked or broken or brown or blue or none of that matters. What matters is God created you to release his power on earth. And that's what we're here for. And so the truth is we are like common clay jars so that when that power comes out of you, we'll all stand back and say, listen, Ty, you are amazing, but that's the God of the universe inside of you. You were created for this, Ty. Now, it doesn't matter. You know what? We look at the facts. I think it's not, it's a little funny. And here's what, in Ephesians chapter 1, that's what got me to this. We were looking at Ephesians, and Paul prays this prayer. He says, I pray that your eyes would be opened, your heart would be opened, so that you would understand the hope to which he has called you. Guys, we've got to break free from these clay jars and let ourselves go. You see, the clay jar is your history. It's all the facts about your life. Well, I'm not as smart as... Yeah, no, you're not. I can't sing. No, you can't. That's all a jar. That's all part of the jar. Yeah, but you know how bad I was hurt? Do you know how many times I failed? Do you know I don't know, what do you call a prison record? You know, whatever that is, you know what? You don't know about what's in my past. They haven't expunged mine. It doesn't matter. Well, but this is true. I failed 100 times. I failed today. Today, this morning, I failed again. that proves that what I am isn't good enough for God. It's a jar. It's a clay jar. What really matters is you. And you know what? I was, my heart is this way. Has anybody ever had a pastor do the, actually, I think of it as politicians. You ever watch a politician go through a crowd? Like, they keep moving. It's amazing. They make everyone they shake hands feel loved and valued and worth, but they don't ever actually engage with that person. They just keep moving until they get out. You know, the pastors, there's a class in seminary. I learned how to do that. You can walk through a crowd. You can smile. You can shake hands. You can be warm and greeting. But the truth is, I don't even remember who I talked to. I'm doing this. It's a pastoral push-off. Don't you wish somebody would look at you? Not at your jar, not at your pocketbook, not at your whatever history you have, not about the facts even. But you know what's so special about Jesus? Whenever you meet him, he always looks at you. He sees you. He sees me. And he doesn't see this. He sees something much deeper, at a deeper level than this. Yeah, it's true. Some of us, yeah, true. But guys, Paul said, I'm praying that you'll understand the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You know what Jesus' inheritance is? It's us. It's you. You're his inheritance. You're the reason he came. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. You see, when you begin to believe who Jesus says that you are, he releases his power through you. But you and I believe in facts more than we believe in the spirit realm. See, Jesus says this. He says it all over Scripture from A to Z. But we tend to judge ourselves by what our pot looks like. And as a matter of fact, you know what these are really to me. Every time you got hurt, you make this a little thicker. Every time you have an epiphany, oh, people that are pretty get more approval than people who aren't pretty. You put another layer on your pot. Oh, funny people. Y'all know, you see that some of us did that as kids, right? We discovered that if you're funny, you get a lot of attention. It doesn't matter if you get demerits and bad grades in school because everybody's laughing at you and everybody likes funny people. So I'm going to be funny, and the pot gets thicker. You learn that if you look a certain way and you dress a certain way, we all do it. If you wear these clothes, you'll get this approval. And the truth is, God created us all unique and valuable and worthy, and there's not any hierarchy in the world. There is not a caste system in the United States of America. So guys, we all have a treasure inside this clay pot. You know, this one. What I'm wearing, the way I look, how I talk, how I speak. I judge myself how I preach by how much y'all laugh. Well, obviously, I'm doing a bad job. I don't judge myself by that, thank God. I don't. I'm like, because you guys don't have a sense of humor. So I don't think Elvis Presley could make you laugh. He wasn't a comedian, was he? I can't think of any comedians. I can only think of the guy who committed suicide. That's not very funny. He was funny, though. I forgot two announcements, by the way, just to put this on your plate. Two big announcements. One is Pastor Mohan and Ronnie are going to be here next week. He'll be preaching next Sunday, and that's a big deal. And so I know it's going to be good. He's arriving. And also next Monday, not this Monday, but next Monday, we're going to have a meet and greet here at the church. We'll have cookies or tea and stuff and coffee. And just a time when you can sit down and visit with Mohan and Ronnie, it's worth your time and your energy to come and just sit with them across the table when he's not speaking or when there's not a big crowd around. So we're going to be here next Monday night, a week from tomorrow, at 6:30. We'll have a meet and greet for them, okay? And I was supposed to announce that, and with the baby dedication, I got out of sorts, and so I forgot. Okay. I'll see if I forgot anything else. I did. So, that's what we are. So, in Judges 6, what happened to Gideon? We've been talking about this for weeks, right? Gideon was facing a problem. His whole world was darkness. Like, he was surrounded by the enemies, the Midianites. They would come into Israel and destroy the nation every year. At harvest time, of course, they came and would steal their harvest. And so Gideon was living in fear, right? And it was a fear of reality. Do you know, when you talk about fear, it's really interesting. When you talk about fear, it's always based on facts. Your perceived facts. You understand that? Don't ever give in to the fact that fear has a place in your life, because it doesn't. Because I read in Scripture, it says that the only thing that remains, the only thing that's going to be here at the end of time when we're all in heaven, is faith, hope, and love. No demonic spirit of fear is in heaven. So whatever we fear, it's not real. If you think about it, it's true. What we fear is our perceived, like Gideon was living, he was threshing wheat in the winepress because he feared the Midianites. And if they saw him threshing wheat out in the open, they would steal his wheat. Well, guess what happens when you fear something and you respond to it? What you fear happens anyway. It happens anyway. They steal their wheat anyway. Didn't matter if he was hiding it. And so I believe that that's just, fear is like that. And so fear is always a big deal. And here's something I want you to understand as we're going here. There is a very fine line between fear and faith. I just want you to think about that. You see, if you look throughout Scripture, many of the great heroes of our faith struggled with fear. Joshua, what did Moses say to him? The last words to Joshua Moses spoke, "Joshua, be strong and courageous." The first thing God spoke to him when Joshua took over for Moses and was going to lead the children of Israel in the promised land, "Joshua, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous, Joshua." Why? Because Joshua dealt with fear. What happened to Joshua when he went into the promised land to be one of the spies? He dealt with fear. But I'm going to tell you, it's like fear doesn't mean you don't have faith. Fear actually gives you an opportunity to exercise your faith. You know, I listen to these great people that teach about praying for the sick, and we teach it here. We've been doing it for years. We all the time encourage people to pray for the sick. Well, you know why we don't pray for? You know what the key element is to people getting healed that you pray for? Praying for people. But wait, isn't there some big secret? Praying for people. You have to pray. Well, why don't you pray for people? Why don't we pray for people? Well, I'm afraid if nothing will happen. I'm afraid they'll be discouraged. I'm afraid they'll yell at me and call me names. I'm afraid of what my friends will think of me. I can't pray for that person. Who am I? You see, fear would stop you from ever praying for the sick. Well, you want to see people get healed? Love Jesus, live with Jesus, and pray for the sick. You want words of knowledge like what happened up here with Ty today? You know how that happens? It's by faith. Love people, love God, love yourself, and ask God to give you words. And then when you feel like you have a word, which unless you're a real, real baby Christian, most of the words you get, you will have to do them by faith. You won't know. Like none of us knew. Nobody gave Ty a word this morning knew. Faith is before you see it happen. But fear would stop us from blessing a baby. Fear will stop you from being who God's called you to be. And so you see what happened with Gideon, right? Over and over again, he faced fear. Now, I love that he did this. You know, what separates fear from faith is encountering Jesus face to face. That's what we found out with Gideon, wasn't it? Gideon's hiding. He's afraid. He has a face to face with the angel of the Lord, and Gideon takes a little tiny step. You know what Gideon does? The first thing he does, right? He goes and he deals with those two demons. He deals with the demon, two spirits of fear that were impacting his life totally. First thing he did was he tore down the altar to Baal. Because you know one of the things fear will tell you is when Gideon faced that, Baal was who they worshiped to protect them. Not God. They worshiped this other spirit. They worshiped these other things. They gave them, they trusted them to protect them from the Midianites and from all the ites. They trusted them to do it. And fear was inspiring them. Fear offers you an out of protection. Fear will protect you. And you've got to ask yourself, God, is fear doing that to me? And then the second thing Gideon did was he tore down the Asherah pole, which was about provision. You know what fear says? You need protected. You're going to get hurt. You're not going to make it. You've been hurt in the past. That's why we build these walls around our hearts, because we get hurt. And so I'm going to protect myself by doing this and doing this and doing this. It has nothing to do. It's a spirit. It's a demon. It's an idol. And the other thing that he did was he tore down the Asherah pole, which is about provision. It was about getting what you want. What's going to make you successful? What's going to guarantee your child's future? What's going to guarantee your happiness? What's going to guarantee that you're going to be able to pay your bills? Come on. What is? Does fear tell you what to do, or do you trust the Lord in you? You see, fear is a really bad lover. It never produces what it says it's going to produce. And so Gideon started taking steps. He was still afraid. Get that. When you read that story, notice it says Gideon was afraid. So he tore down the altar at night so nobody would see him because he was afraid. And then the next thing Gideon did, right, we talked about it, into Judges 6, he put out the fleece. He said, well, God, if you will use me to defeat these people, I'm going to put myself out there and see if you show up. Well, you know what? That's okay. That means like right now, I just mentioned praying for the sick. Well, maybe you've never done it. Well, and so you're scared spitless, right? You're just like, I can't do it. Guess what? Take a stab at it. Take a step. It doesn't matter if you're afraid. Take a step, and guess what will happen? God will show up, and he'll meet you face to face. And he's the deal breaker. You see, that's what has to happen. God wants you to come to him and say, Father, I'm afraid. I mean, I remember one of the first big demonic things I dealt with somebody. I've told y'all this story. I've got Harvey and another man who is a missionary to Africa in the room with me, and this big demon shows up, and Harvey and this other man can see it. I don't see it, but it was like my first time, right? I am dead serious, dead serious. Now, I'm worried sick because this demon was mad. Did you know they'll do whatever they know will make you scared? And I know I can't whip a demon. I'm sitting in a chair, and being the man's here, Harvey's here, and I bound this demon, right? By faith. I don't know. I'd never done it before. So I was like, sounds like a good idea. It's what the Bible says. I'm going to give her a shot. I bind this demon, and then it's standing above me. And my legs start going. I would almost call that terrified. When your body starts reacting. So I'm sitting here, and I'm pushing as hard as I can, and they keep shaking. I mean, they were shaking that bad. And I'm like, I'm a grown man. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of that stinking demon. And I'm like, God, you know, what do you do when you're afraid? I talk to God. I'm like, God, can that demon see my legs shaking? Because if he can, I'm a dead man. I really did. Harvey was there. Did I do it? Yeah, I did. My legs are getting tired. I'd keep shaking. And God said, you want to grow and overcome fear? Talk to Jesus. You know what the Lord said? He can only see what I let him see. I'm like, oh, that changed my whole viewpoint of the spiritual realm. I had been taught demons came and went and did whatever they wanted to do. I'd been taught those movies that show that stuff. I'd been taught all that. And God said, Alan, they're not in charge. I am. Like, who's in charge of Ty's future? The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of gods, the King of the earth, the King of all things. What are we worried about? We're just going to participate with him. And Ty will be fine. You don't have to live in fear. Quit letting the news tell you what's going on in the world. The news changes every day, 20 times a day if you change the channel. If you listen to different social media places, it changes while you're listening to it. You know what never changes? Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, whose plan was to bring His kingdom on earth through you. And the only thing slowing God down is us, because we're scared. Well, it's okay. It's okay. Gideon was scared. So he said, God, I'm going to put this fleece out, which means himself, right? And he put the fleece out and said, if it's wet and the ground's all dry, I'll believe you, God. And he did it, and it happened. The fleece is wet, the ground's dry. And I'm sure Gideon's logic kicked in, and he's like, God, don't be angry with me. Isn't that how we are? But tonight, I mean, I told you I would do it, but give me one more shot, God. Tonight, make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And then I'll believe you, God. And God did it. You know, God's taking you in a process, and He wants us to keep walking. And you know what you and I do? We'll look at the facts, and we'll stop. And we'll not live by faith tomorrow or today. And so y'all know, Gideon called the deals, and really where we're at in the story of Gideon is we're in Judges 7 now, and y'all know what happened there. We're going to read it quickly. It's a great story. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, and that was Gideon's nickname because he whipped the devil, and the devil didn't kill him, and let the devil contend with Gideon's what they said. They all camped, they all gathered, right? Gideon gathers all these men. And all those 135,000 Midianites, we find out later in Scripture, were there. And God said, Gideon. See, Gideon had developed this rapport with the Lord. And that was before the Holy Spirit came and lived in him. Guys, if you don't have a rapport with the Lord, it's because you ain't talking to Him. Talk to Him. Well, but I only say stupid stuff like, I don't trust you, God. Okay. Hi, Gideon. You mighty valor, man of faith. Yeah, talk to him. Gideon did. And the Lord, he told Gideon this wonderful thing, right? You're reading it before I say it. You got too many men, Gideon. Listen, if you take these many men out there, you're going to say that my own strength has saved me. You know, God doesn't want anybody competing with Him. People, things, money. No, He's not going to do that. And so God said, Gideon, tell the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. Now, He didn't put them down. He didn't hurt them. He didn't punish them. It's just true. Some of them were really afraid. And, you know, God's good. So 22,000 men left. 22,000 were scared. I think we're scared beyond scared. Their legs were probably shaking like that. And it would have been hard for me to fight with my legs shaking that way. So the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many. There was only 10,000 left. Take them down to the water and I will thin them out for you there. God, this is not encouraging. Can you imagine? 135 soldiers, 135,000 enemy with camels beyond what they can count, hardened soldiers are down in that valley. And Gideon has too many men. And so Gideon took them down to the water. And the Lord did what He promised. He separated them down to the point where there was only 300. 300 men against 135,000. And the Lord said to Gideon, you know, I want you to get this. Do not live without an open line with Jesus. Well, I don't hear Him. Then I recommend you not leave this building today until you can. Well, there's people here that will help you hear Him. We learn how to hear Him. Just like a baby. You know, one day Ty will be able to actually talk with words. He'll learn. And his mom and dad will teach him. And God created him to learn to speak. God created you to learn how to communicate with Him. And that, so every time you see something happening, it's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord speaking to him, the Lord talking to him. And so the Lord, this is so funny again. The Lord said, Gideon, I mean, here's what he said. Gideon, get the men up and take them down into the camp. I'm going to give you this war. I'm going to win this battle for you. But then the Lord said, but if you're afraid, well, yeah, if you're afraid, go down and listen with your servant Pura and listen to what they're saying. And after you hear what they're saying, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. See, Gideon still wasn't there yet. You know, it's okay if you're still not there yet. There's a verse here I'm fixing to get to, if you'll just hang on a second. It's the process of faith is okay. You see, Jesus grew. That's what the scriptures say. He grew. He developed. And it's a great word they use there. And so Gideon goes down with his friend, and he hears that the Midianites are scared to death of their army. And that encouraged Gideon. See, the Lord knows how to encourage you. You know, that encouraged him. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he heard it from the people that were attacking them. He bowed down and worshiped. Do you see how this is wrapped around a relationship with God? Guys, if fear is eating your lunch, you need to have a relationship with God before it happens, while it's happening, and after it happens. And one day you'll find yourself no longer being controlled by this spirit of fear. But it's a process. And it's okay where you are. It was okay that my legs were shaking that day. You know, the demon lost that day. He did. You know, I did what the Bible says we're supposed to do. I cast him out, and he had to leave. And he didn't get on me or Harvey. I mean, well, he's a little bit on Harvey, but he's mostly not on me. I sort of asked God. You can ask God. So I said, God, would you let Harvey? Two times I asked God to let Harvey take the hit. And well, there was that one time I thought that guy was going to kill us. And I made sure Harvey was between me and this man. Because I figured Harvey is strong. I said, I figured it'd take him a little bit to get through Harvey and I could run. That was actually my conscious thought. Because, I mean, Harvey's lived his life. This was, you know, I'm like, he's had plenty of experience. So he bowed down and worshiped. And Gideon did what the Lord said, right? And here's the key. Here's where I believe some of us are at right now. You see, there's this process Gideon went through from the very beginning of not believing in himself at all, not believing in God at all, not believing in the scripture, because the scripture said Israel was supposed to rule and reign from Israel. That was the promised land, not the devil's land. You see, Gideon didn't believe. He had no faith. God took him from there, and he didn't believe in himself either. He said, guys, who am I, God? Who am I to lead these people against that enemy? We're going to all die. They won't follow me. God took Gideon to the point where Gideon believed in God in him. Do you believe in God in you? That's where you're going. Then this last step, God said, listen, give each man a jar. Very interesting, he said jar. And give each man a torch and a sword. And you're going to win this battle. And these men that stayed with Gideon, they were all experienced fighters. And I was talking to somebody in the military that helped me understand this better. Soldiers aren't under any illusion when they have 300 men facing 135,000. They know you're not playing. What happens is you're going to go to war, but you know when you take a step into there, you're not coming back. You see, our soldiers live that way, don't they? That's why we honor the military and the servants and even the civil servants in our world. You know, how many firemen, how many policemen, how many soldiers have taken a step into a situation knowing that they may not come home today? You see, that's a totally different deal that we live with. But those men, those 300 men, they're going to surround 135,000 men, and they've got a sword, a jar, and a torch. Those men decided they would give their lives for what God had said through Gideon. And Gideon decided it too. They knew they were going to die. But they took their jars, and so I guess they had them upside down, and they had the torches inside the jar, and they held a trumpet in their right hand. And Gideon said, "Here, guys, I've got this great plan. Let's split up. That way that I'll have 100 against 135,000. You take 100, you take 100. We're going to surround them." It's great, Gideon. We're with you, brother. "And when I blow my trumpet, you break your jar and hold the torch up, and you blow your trumpet. And watch what God will do." You know what breaking the jar stands for? One day, the American church, one day you and me have to quit living with this false identity that we have on us all the time and believe who we are is what God needs to win a war. And I know that's good for your self-esteem. It's good for your mental health. All of that. It is. That's why we teach children, there's nothing wrong with you. You were created for an inhabitation, to be an inhabitation of the Lord. You were created in His image to carry His fire. And so was I, and so were you, and you, and you, and every one of us. You were created to hear Him the same way Elijah heard Him. Better. You were created to the same way Jesus was created. And we forget the prophecy that God spoke to us. You see, I believe that this is happening. So Gideon divided. He went into those deals. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. And instead of, when you do this, you see, I believe we're all at a place where God's asking us, what's your next step in your journey of faith? What's your next step? Each one of us. You see, I think that it's a process. Right now, God's saying, "Hey, I need you to take a step. I need you to take a step." God needs us because we're His inheritance in this world. And so Gideon, they did it, and they blew their trumpets, they smashed their jars. And look at verse 22, that's where we're stopping on Gideon's chapter 7. "The Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords, and the army destroyed itself, and they all fled." And then, because 300 Israelites out of 2.5 to 3 million, that's how many people were in Israel, 300 put those men to flight. And you know what happened? When that 300 stood up against 135,000, the rest of Israel, go read the rest of the story, the rest of Israel rose up and started fighting for what was rightfully theirs. You see, maybe there's just a handful of you. May just be one, maybe two, maybe 30 or 40 or 50. But you can put 100 can put 10,000 to flight with Him. So God's called us. So here's, I love this. This was the verse. I don't know what happened to our box. I put this verse in the box for Ty. I didn't get to do it because I think he had so many. We were going to be all day. Luke 2:52 is the verse that talks about Jesus whenever they went back to the temple to find Him. Remember that? It says, "Meanwhile, Jesus continued to engage and advance." Actually, I put 2:51 in that box, not 2:52. Because 2:51 is where Mary is astounded, Jesus' mother, and it says, the scriptures say that she pondered and dwelled on and kept those things in her heart that were said and what she experienced with Jesus. Mom never forgot it, who He was. You see, and I put that word in Ty's box because Corey, Nicole, family, us, I don't care what happens in the future, remember who He really is. And we say every baby dedication is that important. Not, it wasn't, this wasn't special. It was special, but it wasn't special. Everyone is that important. And guys, we're all responsible to remember who he really is. And mom and dad, you're more responsible than grandma and grandpa's. And this is the next verse out of the Mirror Study Bible. This is where we're at. Meanwhile, Jesus continued to engage and advance with courageous progress. The scriptures say this way in some versions, say he grew in favor. He continued to grow in favor and wisdom with God and man. I like the way he says it. He engaged and advanced with courageous progress. That means progressive advance, as in cutting one's way through a jungle. That's what we're doing. That's what Gideon did. Gideon started here, and he said, I'm going there. And he started hacking away through the jungle. You know what? It's hard work. To grow in faith takes courage. It's risky. It takes work. And that's what we're called to. And that's what it says about Jesus. Jesus hacked his way through a jungle, fulfilling his destiny. And he continued and he progressed in all things. Wisdom, stature, and in the consciousness of favor before God and his fellow human beings. You see, that's who you are. That's who we are. Where we are, fact. This pot is a fact. What's in this pot is not controlled by what the pot is. Guys, it's time to break our pots. It's time to destroy that word, that voice, that history, that dirt that's gotten on you, the cracks in your life. Yeah, and it's time for us to break our pots. And it's a process. It won't happen in one day. But today, you can break a pot. You know what? Today is a good day to take a step. And that's just the word, I think. You can play, Sharon, because we're going to do something. I had this thought in my mind. It never would go away. And I know it's personal. And I know you can't answer because we'd have too many answers. What's the next step in your journey? If it's just me and you talking, that's what I'd ask you. I'd ask Jesus to show you. I wouldn't ask you because we're not smart enough to figure this out without the Spirit. Jesus, what's the next step in my journey? So let's ask him. Come on, King. Come on, King. God, we just ask you to come now. Holy Spirit, would you speak to each of us, God? God, what's my next step in my spiritual journey? Come on, keep listening. You don't get off the hook by just not thinking about it. Jesus, what is the next step in my spiritual journey? I love it when God answers me for you and for people. I see Jesus do a lot of things. I see one of the things is he wants you to rest, which doesn't sound like a step, but it is a step. Because whatever you do by faith, some of you it's going to be, Jesus is like, try cracking a smile. Just give her a shot. Be happy. Forgive yourself. Have fun with me. I love you. Jesus has a plan for you, and you have a next step. So this morning, and I believe this is true too, we're going to have a ministry teams up here. If you would, please, let's all stand. If you're watching online, I'm asking you that same question. What's the next step in your journey? You know, Romans 1:16 is a life verse for me. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of Gentile and Jew. For everyone who believes. It's all about faith. But then look what he says in the next verse. The gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And this moves us from receiving life through faith. You see, that's where the enemy has convinced most of us American church people to stay. I'm going to have life. I'm going to heaven. And that's all we think we're supposed to do. We don't know we're supposed to walk in the supernatural power of God every day. And then Paul goes on to say, it moves us from being saved, which is how we would term that, to the power of living by faith. Walking on water, crushing storms, winning the victory over innumerable battles, changing, not being limited to whatever your jar looks like. You're not limited to this. You're like a genie. You rub it and it comes out and it's huge. That's not real, but it's like, that's what it's like. Dana's looking at me like, no. This is what the scripture means. Guys, take a step. What's your next step? I encourage you because God wants you to be full of life, full of joy, all the fruit of the Spirit, just like they read over little Ty, right? Fruit of the Spirit oozing out of him, his grandmother said. So today, God wants you. So this morning, if you need a word from the Lord, if you'd like to hear how he sees you, if you'd like to experience his presence, he will meet you today. Amen, he will. So that's what these guys are up here up front for. They'll stay all afternoon. They've got nothing else to do but pray. And because when Jesus shows up, you're good. It's a good day, you know. So God, I just thank you for each person here that you really are with us. Father, I thank you for putting Gideon's story in the scripture. Such an important story about a man who is just like us. And God, that we can overcome any obstacle the same way Gideon did, by meeting you face to face, by taking the next step of faith. So God, would you just put that in our hearts right now? Father, how do you want me to respond? What's my next step? So thank you so much for being here, for your courage, for the possibility and the beauty that God has put in you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah, communion tables open. Prayers up front.